And now, if we might, let's move on to our daily COVID update and our case report. And please be joined by Dr. Secretary Jose Romero, and he leads the team. And we have Dr. Austin Porter here to have additional strength on some questions if it need be. And then Dr. Ivy Pfeffer of the Department of Education is with us as well. In terms of the cases, in the last 24 hours, we've had an additional 273 COVID-19 cases, 273 cases. That brings us to a total of 61,497. In terms of hospitalizations, we've had three additional hospitalizations. That brings us to 423. We've had, very sadly, an additional 17 deaths. That brings us to 814 deaths, and Dr. Romero will have more comments on that, as well as the specific counties that make up the 273 additional cases. Obviously, the 273 is a decline from previous days. In terms of testing, it is typical for perhaps following the weekend. We have 3,530 tests that have been performed. Not as quite as much as when we've had 6,000 or 4,000. And so that is part of the reason, of course, for the slower number of cases, but it is still a significant amount of testing. Our active cases are down to 5,036. Let's look at it from the graphs. Here again, you can see from the testing, we haven't had that low of testing since back in early July. And if you look at the 7-day rolling average, you can see that gives us a downward trend. And we'll see where it is tomorrow. And then the next one is our number of hospitalized. We flattened out a little bit, but we're not near where we were at the height at our current hospitalizations. The number of active cases is down rather significantly, right at 5,000, in contrast to being, you know, about 7,200 at the peak of active cases. So that's 2,000 less than our peak. And then in terms of our testing, this is the number of COVID tests by date of test result, and it's broken down by facility type. You can see that our Department of Health did not have as many, perhaps because we were coming off of the weekend. We have our lab in the red, our commercial labs, that's down a little bit as well. And then if you look at the next one, this is the percent of positive test results. And of course, at 10%, that means that 90% of the people who get the test are negative. But, you know, that's sort of the gold standard. But if you look at it backfills over time, and we want to keep it down below 10%. Cumulative, it is below 10%, but you got to watch it whenever it spikes up. And then in terms of where we are, I saw the headline that we didn't reach our goal. But you look how close we are. It was 190,000 cases. We were at 186,000. And of course, we have our antigen test on top of that. So it was a good month in testing. And you're right, we didn't meet the 190,000 goal, but it is pretty strong testing that we did in the month of August. And then if you look at the next one, this is the percent of Arkansas population tested each month. And so you can see in March that we tested 0.3% of our population. In April, 1.3%, total 38,000 tests. In May, we went up to 82,000 tests, which is 2.7% of our population in 1 month. And then June is when we soared up to 198,000 tests, 6.6% of the population. And to me, 6% of the population in 1 month is a very good mark. And of course, then we exceeded that in July with 7.1% of the population, 214,000 tests. And this month, we're down at 186,000, 6.2% of the population. And so it illustrates we're above that 6% mark of the population. I'm very pleased with that. That's a good goal every month. If we can do that, that gives us a good indication as to where we are in the state. And then we were asked a question yesterday about the proportion of deaths, COVID-19 deaths, that have other causes and contributing factors. And as this was prompted by the CDC report that I believe it was 94%, I believe it was, of the deaths related to COVID-19, that there were other contributing factors to that. Well, it's very similar in Arkansas, and so this reflects that of all of the COVID deaths that we've had, that we have 5.5% in which COVID-19 is the only cause of death. That is the only one that is listed. And the other 94.5% there, it would be those that have other contributing factors as part of it. And so the other contributing factors could be hypertension, hypertensive diseases, diabetes, heart disease, heart failure. These are just some of those that might be listed. And so what is the criteria for someone who fills out the death certificate, the doctor or the coroner, to put in the cause of death as COVID? And the guidelines are that if COVID is the primary cause of death or it is a contributing cause of death, then we count it as a COVID-19 death. And that is what we are required to submit for statistical purposes. That question was asked yesterday. We wanted to be able to cover that. And then secondly, was asked about how many people that go into the hospitals actually recover from the hospitals and go home versus that those that go on a ventilator or those that succumb and pass away. And statistically, in Arkansas, we've had a 78.9% recovery rate of those that go into the hospital. So 78.9%, and I think, although Dr. Romero can comment on this, I believe it has improved over the course of the last 5 months. Finally, we were asked about what we want to do in terms of testing next month, and I would set the goal for testing in the month of September at 180,000, which is 6% of our population from PCR tests. We also hope to grow our antigen test, and even though we set a goal of 10,000 antigen tests in the month of August, we didn't make that. We want to set the same goal, 10,000 antigen tests in the month of September. I hope to see that increase. I expect it to increase, but we want to be able to keep up with those PCR tests as well. With that, I want to invite Dr. Romero to come. I think he'll provide some additional testing site locations as well.
And this is Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero coming to the podium now. This is KUAR.
Thank you very much. So to add a little bit more detail to the numbers provided by the governor, as mentioned, hospitalized individuals has increased, is now 423. Number of individuals requiring mechanical ventilation has decreased by 2 and is 85. Of the total deaths that were reported today, the 17, 6 of these were delayed reports, 1 coming from June, 5 from July. Of the 17 deaths, 5 were from nursing home residents, and there was 1 case from the correctional institution. No clustering was observed with regard to the nursing home cases or the correctional case for counties. I want to point out the counties that have the greater than or equal to 20 cases reported today. There are only 4. Unfortunately, Pulaski continues to lead at 44, followed by Benton at 29, Sebastian County, number 3, at 24, and lastly, Washington County at 21. Governor has covered the rest of the testing that we talked about. I believe there's another slide at this point or not? Very good. So let me talk about testing events this week. These are the testing events that are available to us. today through Thursday at the University of Arkansas at the Baum Stadium lot in Fayetteville. They'll be testing between 8 in the morning and 2:30 in the afternoon. On Wednesday, there is a testing event to be carried out in Pine Bluff at the Jefferson County Local Health Unit that will run from 3:30 in the afternoon to 6:30 in the afternoon. On Thursday, we have three events. The first listed is at the University of the Ozarks in Clarksville, from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. There's an event at Hart Springs in the Garland County Library from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. And then lastly, in Paragold, at the Paragold Community Center from 3 p.m. To 6 p.m. These are open. Again, we welcome your participation. There is no charge. There is no fee for the testing. So we will collect data from you, but that data is necessary for epidemiologic reasons. Lastly, let me close by talking about our distribution of the rapid point of care testing for they call the VD Veritor machines. We have placed at this time 38 machines across the state, two of which are located at the University of Fayetteville and the other one at ASU. They are distributed throughout the five public health regions of the state in a pretty much uniform distribution at this time. We will be distributing more as we get more kits available. Our initial request for kits was not met because the federal government required those kits for additional testing in hotspots. But we will be getting these shortly and we'll be deploying them. These have been deployed to local health units and are being used to screen our children that have possible exposure or possible infection to COVID. Lastly, I want to remind everyone that we are in for a long haul, as they say. We need to continue to remember the basic mechanisms for decreasing transmission of this, which are the use of the mask, social distancing, and hand washing. So with that, I'll end and turn it back over to the governor. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Romero, and we're happy to take any questions. Yes.
This is a question for Dr. Romero in regards to the intended lawsuit against the Department of Health. It says, by issuing the health directives without legislative oversight is an abuse of authority, and the law cites the Administrative Procedures Act, which grants lawmakers oversight of such matters. I just want to know what your response is to that and if you believe you have abused your authority.
Dr. Romero and I discussed this before. I'll be making the comment in reference to the lawsuit, and I was in Caraway, Arkansas yesterday with a jobs announcement, and the CEO stood up there and thanked me for keeping the state open for business and to growing businesses during this time. I think it's a minority of the legislature that has a concern and that is behind a potential lawsuit, but I feel confident that the legislature gave us this authority. We're acting appropriately and with great reservation in terms of restrictions. We're trying to keep Arkansas moving, school operating, sports continuing. And so I think we've handled it well, and there's a minority of legislators that have expressed a desire to have the courts consider it. I don't think that's wise to have the courts involved in it, but anybody can file a lawsuit, and to my knowledge, that lawsuit has not been filed, and so we will save additional comments in the event that lawsuit is filed.
What's the reason that we're not getting the results reported of the antigen testing, and how accurate of a picture are we getting of the state of the virus if we don't know the results of the antigen testing?
Well, yesterday I did show the results of the antigen testing. We showed all of the antigen test for the full month, and we showed the positivity rate for the antigen test. So we want to be very transparent. I've asked Dr. Romero and Dr. Porter to be able to give us this information September on a more regular basis so that I can continue to report on the antigen testing. Right now, it is a small percent of our overall testing, and we're keeping that in a separate category. And so we will be reporting on that on a regular basis.
We know there's so many PCR tests that were, new cases from PCR testing. Why can't we have the same information about antigen testing?
Well, you can, and I just said we intend to have that for you.
Well,
I said on a regular basis, we will see if we can provide it on a daily basis, but it will be a regular basis that we provide that information. Any other questions?
Governor, this is Jeannie Weiss with 4029 News. You mentioned, Dr. Romero mentioned that there were new cases in Benton, Washington, and Sebastian counties. I was curious how many of those new cases are linked to schools, and are there any clusters?
Dr. Romero, do you have any additional information there?
I do not, sir.
And Dr. Pfeffer, could you come and comment on a school situation and see if what you have for us there?
This is Dr. Ivy Pfeffer with the Arkansas Department of Education.
Thank you, Governor. And first, I do want to just commend our schools and everyone who's working to help make sure that our students are continuing to have success in the return to school. The plans that were put in place are working as we had hoped. The communication process has been very good. We had a couple of districts that had paused their on-site instruction for one or more of their buildings to gather more information. And so cross-county schools should have returned today to having all of their students on site. So they've done a very good job with that. We do have a few additional school districts that have had to modify some of their on-site operations. And one of the districts is quarantining a grade level of students for the next couple of weeks due to the number of close contacts that were involved to a confirmed case. And then we have another couple of districts that are working through some issues today, and they'll make determinations as to their next steps, and we'll be announcing those to their community. The Rogers School District had a kindergarten class that they're trying to make their next step determinations. And in the Fort Smith School District, one of their high schools has been affected by a number of close contacts to some confirmed cases. So I think this just speaks to the way school districts are approaching the data that they have and the impact that positive cases have, depending on the number of close contacts. But we feel very good about the way they're approaching this in terms of limiting their response to the areas that are affected. They're taking their time, they're working with us in the Department of Health so that they are making good decisions and making the appropriate modifications.
Just to clarify, Dr. Pfeffer, you mentioned that a school district is quarantining a grade level. Is that the Rogers School District with kindergarten? And if so, what school?
There is the Mountain View School District has a middle school grade that is being affected. And in Rogers, there is a kindergarten classroom, but not an entire grade level. And those districts will be providing more information to their parents and communities as the length of time that might be needed, either to modify on-site operations or whether or not it needs to be more than just a few days.
And we try to put this information up on the Department of Health website in terms of school districts and the number of positive cases in a school district, and then that would be up to the school district in terms of breaking that down by school. Any other question?
Governor, this is Andrew with AP. Wanted to see what you and Dr. Romero thought about the increase in cases that we saw yesterday at U of A Fayetteville and concerns about how much more that's going to increase there on campus. And had a second question for you following up on the White House Coronavirus Task Force report. Wanted to see, I know you've talked before about how you don't plan on implementing the restrictions they've talked about in terms of closing bars and other restrictions. Is there going to be a point if Arkansas's position doesn't improve significantly where you would have to look at some of those restrictions, even just the ones that would be limited to red zone counties or yellow zone counties. Is that something you're looking at?
As we go through this, every tool is an option for us to consider. And absolutely, if we saw cases that reached to an uncontrollable level, then we would be looking at additional options, some of which are included in the White House recommendations. And so that's what we work against every day, is that we want people to be self-disciplined. We want them to have their individual responsibilities so we don't have to take those extra measures. And obviously, that's wearing a mask. It is social distancing, protecting yourself and others. If we do that, we don't have to go to those restrictions. In terms of the University of Arkansas, you know, it's a challenging environment with college students. The university has a good plan in place, as well as the other institutions of higher education, but there's thousands and thousands of students that are there, and it doesn't take very many of them to not follow the guidelines in order to create cases and challenges. And so it takes a real team effort. I think they're doing a good job. They're not to the point that it should be a challenge for conducting school, but I know they're working hard at it every day, and I'm impressed. You think about the 95% of the students that are wearing a mask, that are protecting themselves and others and doing the right thing, that's terrific. It's just a small percent, and they need to do better. And then, Dr. Merrill, did you have anything you want to add there?
So just adding to the governor's comments, as mentioned, we're doing a testing event there. The report from our group that's there tells us that we have a very, very, very strong response to that. We expect a significant number of specimens from Fayetteville, and we'll have a better idea of what the prevalence is in the individuals that were tested in a couple of days. So thank you.
Next question.
Good afternoon, Governor. It's Neil Gladner in Hot Springs. And go ahead, KNWA. I'll wait.
Oh, thank you, Neil. Couple questions for you today, if you don't mind. Over the last few days, U of A has been averaging about 50 new cases a day. And then when the Washington County numbers are presented in these briefings, yesterday it wasn't on the list of counties over 20 new cases, and today it was just a little over
20. This is 89.1 KUAR, Little Rock, a listener-supported service of the University of Arkansas at Little Rock. Returning from that emergency weather bulletin, we go back to Governor Asa Hutchinson and his daily COVID briefing.
About antigen testing with bars?
Yes. Fayetteville's Board of Health says they've noticed a cluster of cases linked to restaurants and bars through antigen test results that have been done here locally. Is that a trend that the state is noticing?
Thank you for the question. I want to ask Dr. Austin Porter or Stephanie. Dr. Porter, can you comment on the statistics from the University of Arkansas as it relates to what we're showing every day?
And Dr. Austin Porter is with the Arkansas Department of Health.
Thank you, Governor. So what we're seeing is that there is a delay in when the cases come from University of Arkansas to when it gets reported to us. So you will see those numbers that are being reported by U of A in future reports, and we'll be relaying that information to the public as we receive it.
And in terms of the testing results that the city health director noted in Fayetteville, we continue to monitor that. If we get information that there is a connection of new cases with a particular activity, then we will examine that as to what action should be taken. At this point, we do look at it every week, and we have not seen a significant connection between any increase in cases or a cluster with a particular activity. And so we'll continue to monitor that. And as Dr. Porter said, if there's additional information that comes in, then we can look at that in terms of the antigen testing that they're referencing. Dr. Romero, are you good on that? Next question.
Hi, Governor, it's Neil Gladner in Hot Springs, and this is a question about the comorbidity chart that you put up, and it's really a question for Dr. Romero, please. If he could describe that in lay terms, and I ask that because in social media, talk shows, people are calling and saying this virus is not near as dangerous as it's being described. Only 6% of the people who get it are dying from that. And could he put that in lay terms?
Well, Neil, I thought I put that in lay terms, but I'll ask Dr. Romero to do it.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Neil, for that question. So what these comorbidities mean is that if you have any of these conditions, and these have been described already by the CDC, that infection with COVID on top of these conditions makes morbidity and mortality much greater for those individuals. And the ones that were pointed out, hypertension, diabetes, obesity, those issues, if you have them as underlying conditions, become infected, then your mortality rate, your morbidity will go up significantly. So you can see them here. I didn't mention ischemic heart disease or heart failure, cardiovascular disease. All of those conditions make it more dangerous for you to acquire a COVID infection. And I think that's very important for the general public to keep in mind, is that you really want to protect yourself if you have any of these whatsoever.
But Doctor, just one follow-up, I'm sorry. Would people be right in saying then that if they get the virus, or those who died, the 5.5% that's on that chart that's posted, means that they had no comorbidity, and for the rest of the people who have none of those conditions, they can worry less about getting the virus?
So the 5.5% that are listed here are those individuals for whom no other condition was listed. This was the primary cause of death. But it doesn't mean that if you have no comorbidities, have nothing to worry about. The virus does kill, we know that, healthy individuals. So again, if you are perfectly healthy with no comorbidities, you still are at risk for death, higher risk for death than if you did not become infected. Did I answer your question, Neil?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Anything else?
Daily cases going down recently, but also today testing was lower. How do you feel like we're doing in terms of controlling the virus in general? Do you feel like it's going up or flat or going down?
Today, I'm very optimistic. We'll see what I am tomorrow. But, you know, if we had had a 6,000 test day with, 270 cases, something like that, I would have been probably jumping up down. But with the lower testing day, I'm a little bit more calm about that, and we wait for more information tomorrow. And so I feel confident that we're steady, that we're not escalating our cases. You can see that in the data. But whenever you have increased activity, you've got to continue to make sure we do the right thing, follow the guidelines, or we're going to have an acceleration of cases. And that's what, whether you're looking at the modeling, what everyone fears is that fast acceleration that has been seen in Texas, that was seen in New York, that was seen in New Orleans, where it gets out of control. And that's what we have not had in Arkansas. You look at our level of cases, it's been somewhat steady, but it's been steady at a lower level. And so I don't believe it has ever been out of control, but it is still too high of a level, and we want to see over time that get down more. All right, with that, thank you. It's good to be with you today, and we'll have more information tomorrow. Thank you.
It's Governor Asa Hutchinson. We've been listening live to his daily briefing from the state capitol. A quick recap, 17 additional deaths reported in Arkansas today. Six of those were, however, said to be delayed reports, one from June, five from July. No clusters at this point in nursing homes or correctional facilities in terms of the number of new positive cases today. We had 273, which brings the total in the state to over 61,000. Let's rejoin Here and Now in Progress. This is KUAR 89.1.